Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Drama, controversy, fantastic theatre as the weekend of racing unfolds. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Punters Postmortem. More on the Everest as we go forward. Chautauqua currently $4.60 tab.com.au. A very, very nice barrier trial this morning. The opening heat of the day at about 8:15 at Rosehill Gardens. We'll go to our panel and we'll find out exactly what they thought of that barrier trial. But something when you watch it on replay, you can notice just how Chautauqua was pushed out after the line. Redzel was fantastic on the weekend. Paul Snowden saying it's all about the Everest preparation. 4 weeks now to the Moya. The Moya is going to be a fantastic race. Vega Magic was fantastic winning down at the Memsie in Melbourne. Now an $11 third favourite for the Everest with Hootson stepping out on the weekend and the McEwen down in Melbourne. So let's go to Melbourne and say a big good morning to Dean Lester. Hello, Dino.
Hello, TK.
It's going to be exciting, isn't it? It's always exciting.
Yeah, always. It's building up. It was great Saturday and every week gets that bit stronger.
You're going to have that down in Melbourne, and up here it's going to be the, well, what a fantastic event. It's going to be the Theo Marks on Saturday, and Egg Tart's going to be stepping out. Hello, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. It's going to be another great meeting on Saturday. Obviously, we got the Theo Marks there, and we've got this intriguing run to the roads with all these beautiful three-year-olds around at the moment. And obviously the Stan Fox as well and the Scirocco. So it doesn't stop. And racing, you know, in Sydney and Melbourne at the moment is absolutely outstanding.
Oh, I'm wondering whether he was winding in the price of Chautauqua after that barrier trial this morning. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Yeah, morning, TK. Good morning to Ronnie. Good morning to Dino. No, you know, something that you just see Chautauqua normally do there.
Yeah.
Probably didn't zip as he would in a race. He just sort of ground away there the last 200 metres down the outside. But I'm a little bit surprised Ronnie's got the time for us this morning. I thought he would have been opening a new salon, probably to accommodate the eastern suburbs set there after showing another string to his bow yesterday morning as a hairdresser, TK, on the behind-the-scenes footage there of Sky Thoroughbred Central's Thoroughbred Weekly Show.
The work I put in for the team. You know, I'm a team player.
You are a team player.
Unbelievable.
Can I get your thoughts regarding the barrier trial this morning, Ronnie, of Chautauqua?
Well, that's him. You know, like, that's Chautauqua's trials. They're all the same.
Yeah.
He just ticks along in his trials, and they weren't overexertive. I think that the whole trial, they all went to the line under a nice hold. Trapeze Artist looked good in her time, looked good coming through with a run under his belt, looked great. Inference running a much improved trial, and obviously Chautauqua just under a hold there, running on strongly. I think they've come home in 35.5. It's just a tick over trial for him. He's ticking along how he should be.
David Hayes has got a pretty... Well, I shouldn't just say David Hayes, Dino, should I anymore? It's a very, very big team.
Entourage.
Hayes and Hayes and Dabernick, they've got a fantastic stable going at the moment, and they're firing, and they're going to have a pretty strong hand in the Everest, aren't they?
I think so. If Vega Magic's the one they're sending, which I think they will, he's in-form horse right now, and he's just... Yeah, he's a great big hulking horse. He can get up on the speed, and he's very good.
Do you keep him fresh?
Yep.
That'd be it, wouldn't it? You'd go bang straight into the race now.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't see him again.
No.
They've done that with him twice at 1200 and he's flown both times. And then they got the $1 million Group 1 on Saturday, but that was 1400. So now he's just got to get the slot and be a part of it in about 6 weeks' time.
The only thing he's got to do is get on the right leg. He's never had he's had no experience this way of going, but geez, he's a really good horse.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, he would be at David's property, wouldn't he? And he could work.
He'd be working,
he could work
all directions.
Yeah, they would have been educated that process his entire life, wouldn't he?
They've only had him a short time.
Oh, he's from WA, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure the last 6 months or 4 months since he won the Goodwood, that would have been high on the agenda.
Yeah. Geez, we've had some good gallopers, Glenn, come out of WA, particularly sprinters, haven't we?
Well, you know, how far do you want to go back to?
Placid Ark be the best?
Well, he'd be one of them. Miss Andretti
wasn't
too dusty.
Yeah.
She did beat Blackheart Bard, who was from Western Australia there on Saturday as well.
Yeah. And he's gone to another level since he's come over. Yeah. Blackheart Bard, realistically. And, you know, you look at the horses that come over, and Dino, you're across Perth form better than anyone else because you're actually actively looking at it each week.
Yes.
But they can find one, can't they?
They certainly can. And, yeah, I mean, the depth of their racing is really undersold because I've sent a few horses over there and they don't measure up. They've got to be pretty solid horses to measure up to their open grade.
They always seem to be tough horses, Dino. That
high-pressure races over there,
yeah,
TK. They're exposed to it. Yep.
Normally firmer tracks, is that fair comment?
Yeah, I think, well, certainly in the summer, but yeah. I think that the pressure of the races in general, they seem to roll them along pretty solidly, and they're well equipped when they come over.
We haven't mentioned a name yet.
I thought it was a Wiggs free day.
Is there such a thing?
No. Look, or no Wiggs free days, no Everest free days.
No.
Ronnie, it was thrilled to chat with Huey Bowman earlier on this morning, which was great. He was worried. He was very, very buoyed by the fact how well behaved she was, how she felt before the race, how she came out of the barriers, and how she posied up a lot closer than missing the kick by four lengths last start. But he did admit...
he was worried?
He admitted he was worried. There's no doubt about that.
He didn't say anything about... I missed the interview. He didn't say anything about whether he thought that the muffs had the desired effect in the race or...
The barriers.
I think he always thought she was going to be better behaved the further it got into the preparation.
Yeah, of course.
And that being the second start quite clearly and not as fractious and all of that. So I think they're going to be the earmuffs ongoing.
Okay.
So we'll find out as we go forward throughout the hour. But your impressions, Ronnie?
Oh, well, it was another marvellous performance. You know, there was no card into the race for her because all those stayers were the ones chasing the faster horse there in Red Excitement. And that was always going to be a problem pre-race. But no one expected the unexpected there. We just thought, oh, Josh will just slow him up. And that probably plays to her strength where she just is in touch on the point of the turn, where she usually is. But that's when he was going for home, and the horses around her were going nowhere. So she had to do it all on her own. And I know everyone's saying, oh, she only beat Red Excitement.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but the performance was A-grade. It was A-grade. You know, she's had two tougher runs now, so... look, she seems to reading between the lines. She's been doing well and pulling up well. So, full steam ahead. She's still unbeaten. You know, in her last 19 now.
Huey did quip when we quizzed him regarding the loss of the whip and the dropping of the whip. He said, "No. I didn't drop it. I threw it away just in case I had the temptation of getting desperate and using it on her."
Yeah,
which I thought was a wonderful comeback. Dino, can I get your thoughts on Winks? 19 in a row now, 10 lengths off him with 600 to go, 6 lengths off Red Excitement with 400 to go, and Huey Bowman admitted he was worried, and it was an incredible performance.
Yeah, it was. The thing about it, I think Hugh put it into great words last year after the Cox Plate, very simply, but he said she goes faster for longer,
yes.
And you saw that in the last 200 metres. Red Excitement had done the great job. Josh Parr's ride, amazing.
Big tick.
But he just couldn't do one more 200-metre sectional like he'd been doing. And, you look at the breakdown. The last 1,200 metres, she ran 1.7.6. Mm. 11.96, 11.56, 11 dead, then went 10.92, 10.88, and then 11.28 just cosily on the line. So, it's just amazing speed for such a sustained period of time.
Yeah. Glenn, she actually blew, didn't she? Wasn't she $1.06 out to $1.08?
They knew the tactics. So.
She continues to get out there. You know, there's a pot for her every week. Interesting comments this morning, boys, from Dom Byrne, and I know Dom listens to the show each and every week.
Yeah.
And
good morning, Dom.
If there's any other, anyone that's on a pier with Dom as a judge, I've yet to meet them. Mm. He said, Winks has met no true Group 1 quality this preparation.
Mm.
Not ready to peak second up.
Mm-hmm.
Would have lost first up had she raced Vega Magic. And he's saying 50% likely to lose one of her next four starts.
Yeah, that's
50% likely to lose one of her next four starts.
Yeah. That's based on his appreciation of what she's done. And a lot of people are saying, you know, the watch is telling you she's going fantastic. The eye is telling you she hasn't gone as good because of the opposition that she's only managed to, you know, get up in the last 50 metres and beat. But, you know, the starts he's been giving them and the watch is telling you she is going good.
OK, well, Hughie, this morning we quizzed him, is she at her peak? He said no. So she's getting better, or as you would think, going further into a preparation and heading towards a Cox Plate, Dino.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got to remember last year she was scratched from that race because of the wet track, and she only went into the Cox Plate fourth up, and she's had two interestingly solid runs this time in already, and she's going to go into the Cox Plate fifth up this year. So
I don't think she will.
You don't think she will?
She'll skip one, you reckon?
Oh, well, Chris said to us on Saturday, he says, I've always planned one extra run for her, and then I want to miss one. I want to miss one. So I think it probably...
Miss the George Main?
No, she'll run the George Main. She'll miss the next one.
Go a month to the Cox Plate.
She'll go... Yeah, well, she... Yeah, look, who knows? I think she'll run the George Main. Well, actually, he programmed six, sorry, Dino.
Well, that's the McKinnon at the back end, though.
Was it the Hill Stakes? Obviously,
really?
No. I thought he had that.
George Main, Craven Plate.
Craven Plate.
Which is on, that's the 14th of October.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, so he sort of hesitant.
Well, she's got to have one there, doesn't she? She's got to have one on the 14th of October, whether at Caulfield, Dino, with you, or whether up here at Randwick at the Craven Plate.
Well, her first Cox Plate, she won the Theo Marks, the Epsom, and was 3 weeks into the Cox Plate. She was only third up.
Okay.
Yep.
But she was off that shorter break. And then last year she had the three runs again, didn't she? She had the first up win. She missed the Chelmsford, won the George Main, won the Caulfield Stakes, and went fourth up into the... So she'd be going another extra run if she went George Main and Craven Plate. Different again.
We'll get a definitive answer, but I think he's going to let her tell
him
what to do. But he did say, though, that he wanted to run it in the Group 1 in the George Main, but that can change when they get home in the box and see how they've done.
Yeah. I think we've just got to wrap Josh Parr again. I know he's got a little bit of credit so far this morning, but I just thought it was... It was great excitement. It was a great tactic. And it's not like he was just a tearaway leader, as Hughie pointed out this morning about Josh Parr. He was running sectionals that the horse was capable of running without falling into a hole. And that was all a bit of an art in itself.
It was the time that he took off.
Mm.
He went through the first part of the race fairly steady, but it was the build about the 1200. It's just great that I think a lot of jockeys in the Black Caviar era got into the defeatist mode, and we admired Glenn Schofield on Haylist because he had a good horse, but he took a chance.
Very much so, Dino.
But he rode to win. And Saturday, Red Excitement was ridden to win.
Yeah.
And nearly did.
Look, I don't want to make comparisons between Black Caviar, who I got a thrill every time she went around, and obviously Winx, but I have to say the jockeys just always seem to allow Black Caviar to do whatever she wanted. I can't remember that many sticking it to her apart from Haylist.
And Joe Pride with Rain Affair. Remember when he had the war of words before her last run? Said
best sprinter.
That's right. And he took it to her and came off second best, but he had a crack.
Yeah, at least he had a go, which was refreshing. We're going to take your thoughts on 13:53:53. I can't believe I've gone 22 minutes without mentioning Kieran McAvoy and the fantastic achievement for the first time. He rode the five winners, which were Up and Rolling, which now goes on to the Metrop, I'm pretty sure. Embley, Redzel, Formality, Washington Heights. So congratulations. And he's at the peak of his powers, Ronnie?
Oh, no doubt. I've got no doubt about it. He's a more relaxed rider these days. You know, he hasn't got the pressure of the Godolphin situation, and he seems a happier rider freelance, and he's getting a lot of support from every big trainer. He's a go-to man. He's got a really strong book of horses around him for the spring, and he's getting the job done. I think he goes to ride Hartnell next week, and he's got some, like I said, he's got some lovely rides coming up.
And yesterday was inducted into the South Australian Racing Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that wasn't for the five winners. But
no.
No.
And, he's just... And, an, the right age.
I did the National Jockeys Trust luncheon on Saturday. Now, he'd ridden four winners, Kieran. He didn't have a ride in the second last race.
Yep.
He came up to the luncheon in his gear, Washington Heights' colours, to thank the people that had partaken in the lunch to raise money for the National Jockeys Trust and told them that Washington Heights would win.
Yeah.
Brett and Abdullah came up as well earlier in the day. And, you know, these blokes, you're in a high-pressure situation what you're doing. There's a bloke's ridden four winners, and he's got half an hour off, and he's decided to come up three, four flights of stairs to thank people for coming to a lunch. And he is the president of the Jockeys Association, but Brenton's in the same situation.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I was very appreciative. Everyone, you know, thought a magnificent gesture by both blokes. Those are the sort of little things you do. You're entitled to have a bit of luck and ride winners and do your best.
Yeah.
You know, they could have just sat there and done nothing all day.
Yeah, I was agreeing. And, Dino, I think you're about to say Karen's reached that age now where...
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can be, you know, we see gun apprentices and all that, but then they get into that Hugh Bowman, Kieran McAvoy, that mid to late 30s. Gee, that's the time when they've got the experience. They're absolutely at the peak of their powers, and I just think he's in that mode at the moment.
Yep.
No doubt.
And he's an absolute gentleman as well.
Oh,
so
he's a star.
He was always going to be a success, I thought, as a freelancer. And I'm just thinking, if you do wear those famous blue colours of Godolphin, if you're not winning, Duff...
Yeah, all eyes are on you. You're the first bloke they pick. The punter's the first bloke they attack is the
like
jockey.
You stand out like the proverbial dogs, don't you? You know,
exactly.
Like if you're going bad, I've got to bring this up. Dino, I know you're going to blame me, and most other people will blame me as well. But
what have you done?
Ross Dogs texted. I was trying to forget this.
Furyk.
ATK.
Did you tip it?
No, I didn't, but I backed it. Hi, TK. Question for Dino. Furyk, what happened? Ross Dog. Do yourself a favour. Don't watch the video.
Don't watch the replay.
I think it was the previous week I was rapping Craig Williams Deluxe. I thought he gave up his position, Dino. I'll get your opinion.
Yeah.
It's easy in hindsight. He gave up his position, and the bloke who took the position was the winning position in the end.
Yeah, well, there was that. And I think the other thing was... we know Craig's a meticulous preparer.
Yes.
He thought the stablemate, Sullivan Bay, quite rightly, would run along at a good speed. Corey Parrish has been riding Sullivan Bay beautifully because he's been letting it rip along. On Saturday, he decided to get outside the lead and drop anchor, and I think Craig just got in an awful spot from there. So I think he was too reliant on one horse and then got himself in a terrible pickle. And, it was a terrible watch from there on in.
You would have been happy with that, Glenn?
Oh, they're the sort of things, TK, that, you know...
you
just,
need.
Just happen. Mm. You know, such is life on a race course.
Yeah, good on you.
Well, look at the situation yesterday where Josh Adams got 6 weeks.
Yeah
I've seen... Moree for a brain snap.
Yeah, if people haven't seen that, you can have a look. Poor bugger, he's got his life together, it appears. So, Roddy, you're in better touch than I am here with Josh. He's had a couple of high-profile winners, including Happy Clapper on Saturday, which was fantastic. He then made the trip to Moree. And, look, he was comfortably in front and about to win on Magic Ray and dropped the hands with about 100 to go, and the thing snuck up on his inside and knocked him off.
Yeah, horrible, horrible brain snap there.
Yeah,
you don't say poor bugger if you laid the dollar.
No. He got the shot, got going again. Nosed off.
Well, he clocked off so early, yeah.
He did, and then let's face it, he pleaded guilty. I think it's the right decision to give him 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he cops it on the chin, and he pays a hefty penalty for a young man, you know, who's yet to sort of get back into the Sydney riding ranks, and he's lost a ride on Happy Clapper, one of the favourites for the Epsom. I think that's a severe penalty, but it had to be done.
I was about to say I don't know what was going through his mind, and my answer to that is probably
not
much.
Well, it was going through his mind. This thing's going to win by six.
But
the horse switched off. Some horses don't switch off when you drop their hands.
No, that's true.
And some horses do. That horse went to sleep with him there, you don't do that. You don't do that.
Wasn't quite the profile of Black Caviar at Royal Ascot, Dino.
He got beat. Black Caviar won. There's a massive difference.
Big difference. You put that ticket in and
actually, if he would have won, my learned racing colleagues, if Josh were to kick back and won that photo, what would the suspension have been?
It wouefn't have been a suspension.
It would have been a hefty fine.
Yeah, it would have been a fine.
Right. If that, sometimes they can say, you watch this. You know, he would have got a real good talking to. Yeah. At least.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take your thoughts on all things racing, 13-53-53. We've got lots of questions on the text. We'll definitely get to Huey Bowman with the three winners, Kieran McAvoy with the five winners, Josh Adams suspended for the 6 weeks. And just before we get to it, I want to talk about Ginger Nuts on target for the Caulfield Cup, Dino, with that fifth placing over across the Dutch. Mm-hmm. What did you, have you seen the race yet?
I have. He did more than enough.
Yeah.
Both the horses, he and John Snow in Melbourne, showed a bit of dash, John Snow. It was both very encouraging returns for the four-year-olds.
You didn't think he'd be up near the lead, did you?
Didn't have him mapped there at all. But they did go about three lengths below standard, so it wasn't a breakneck speed. But, no, I didn't think they'd be taking up that option. But he had a good hit out. He looks good. He ran a nice race.
What about your three-year-olds there, Merchant Navy?
Merchant Navy's... I just think he's doing as much as he has to. And I think he's somewhere in the mix for a race like the Golden Rose. I think he's a good talent, and... I think the filly that ran second is outstanding, Booker. I don't know. I think they're going to try and get her out to a 1,000 guineas trip. She might get it, but she's a daughter of Written Tycoon, and she's very good. I think there's a good race in her if they go the right way.
You had it on top that day, didn't you, Booker?
I did, sadly, at the 10-1.
Should have won.
It was three wide, no cover. Chasing. Wobbled around the turn.
Oh, God.
It was a fantastic run. Yeah.
Dino Duff and Glenn Munsey, all listening to our queries. Call now, 13-53-53. That was queries, I did say. Hello, Ross. Rex, sorry. Hi, Rex.
Hello.
Hi, buddy.
G'day, mate. I'd just like to ask Dino, has he any idea what the program is for Totem Stardom?
Totem Stardom has been going terrific for the Darren Weir stable.
He has. He ran well on Saturday. He finished right beside Blackheart Bart as he did in the Futurity. I don't know what his next step is. I'd imagine something like the Maccabi Diva, but I'm sure Andrew Bensley will be on the case for that for us. He usually has good updates on that team sources.
He's going very, very well, Dino, but at that level, is he going to win something?
That's the question.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree. And he looks fantastic. He's going well. But you're right. I mean, that's going to be a tough bunch of horses. I'd be more thinking that a horse that finished down the track in that race from the same stable in Humidor, I can sort of nominate a race he might win, and that's a race like the Caulfield Cup.
Well, it's a pretty good race.
Yeah.
Darren's got about seven or eight of those and sort of...
He's been splitting them up. There'll be a group of them running the Dardo on Saturday. And
you've got Emily Starr and your cool.
Yeah, well, Shannon sort
Gardini,
of picked that up.
I don't know what Emily Starr's going to win. Gardini's lost. He's a very good horse, but he lost all of his qualifications because he's had so long off. I think he's running in the Naturalism to try and get into the Caulfield Cup.
Even Tiamo Grace was okay.
Unlucky. Looking good.
Shannon says this. Hi, guys. Humidor looks to be ticking over well for the Caulfield Cup. Also, Lifeless Ordinary Duff. Can you tell me where Jasoni is? I've seen she trialled against Naita about a month ago. And, Dean, do you know where Sosie Bon is headed as ran well both runs? Looks to be settling better. Cheers, Shannon.
Oh, I thought it was Kurt had written in.
No.
He'd want to be settling Sosie Bond.
All right, Lifeless Ordinary, Duff.
Look, I think he could be a cup source.
Very, very good run on the weekend.
Terrific run.
Yeah, no, he's a better horse than he was last prep, believe me. He's a good horse.
So they're going to be aiming higher than a Wagga Cup than they did last time.
I think so. Yeah. But a lot of horses are aiming, you know, for the races he's ahead of.
Yeah, well, that's
well.
Right. Yeah. And Sosie Bond?
What's his best distance?
That's a good question. He's running in the Bobby Lewis over 1,200 in 2 weeks and then to the Rupert Clark Stakes after that. Okay. So, yeah, that'll be his next two runs, I think.
All right. And I think Shannon's obsessed by Jasoni. Can you help us out there?
Yeah, I was obsessed with her first preparation as well. Look, she's obviously had problems. She's had that trial a while ago.
She's had two trials, the 8th of August and the 21st of August. Could she run Saturday?
She must have.
Yeah, she could well do. Remember, she lightened right up there in that Queensland race that day. Mm. So I don't know whether she can cope. And they've given plenty of time to mature up and put that weight back on. But she's very, very talented. So
Well, look, she out really peaked in that run at Doomben the run before, didn't she? That was outstanding the day she won there.
Yeah, she might run, she might be in the Shirako on Saturday.
Mm. All right. Hello, David. Good morning.
Hey, TK.
Hey,
how
bud.
Are you, boys? It's good to have the old gang back.
It is good to have be back okay. together, mate.
Mate, I was worried about Spieth. I didn't know that he... Redzel was a good win, but, I mean, did he sort of misjudge that ride a bit, Duff?
Look, I don't think he misjudged it. I think that he just got taken out of his comfort zone when Redzel poured it on there, and he had to chase it. He's an ambusher, Spieth. He likes to travel and ambush late. And when he was first up with one soft trial and had to chase a long way out, like his lollies were spent at the 100. And the winner had off a short break, two solid barrier trials, and really used his toughness there to take the sting out of the chasers there. So I thought it was pretty good tactics by McAvoy again there.
He tell you what, he featured prominently in the stewards report, Spieth.
He did.
He's got a poor post-race recovery and respiratory distress, blood in one nostril, and bruising to its eye.
Okay.
So,
well, if that's the case, that that just further improves the run in a way.
Enough to throw him off his game.
It's either going to have to gallop over 1,000 metres in the presence of the stewards, or barrier trial to the satisfaction of the stewards, and have a statutory endoscopic examination will also be required. And an endoscopic examination has to be performed by Bryce's vet to see what's going on with Spieth.
Okay.
So if that's not enough excuses for you, and I think he, you know, the way that he raced, he to me, when they start to get their head back a bit, I reckon they're feeling the track.
Mm. Yeah.
Munns, while I got you there, mate,
yes, mate.
In the pub yesterday, we're looking at a first four jackpot on the last race of the day. So let's say there's a $2,000 first four jackpot at Rose Hill. Where's the jackpot to the next meeting at Rose Hill?
They all go into a pool, and then they're divvied up. Now, on the days, they just graduate through the day, but that at the end of the day, that would go into a pool, and that's when you have special promotions and things like that at the end of end of a month or a certain period of time.
Okay.
Yeah,
as it rolls through
the day, it goes into the following race.
Okay, that's fine.
I got an email this morning, actually, and they're whacking $100,000 into the Moonee Valley day-night meeting, $100 quaddy jackpot, and $55 into the Rosie.
Is that the Moyer that night?
It says day-night. Oh, no, day meeting. Moonee Valley next Saturday.
Day meeting.
Day meeting.
Actually,
right.
The big six, they're putting $100,000 into that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's going to be... You got Ooston down there, mate, in the McEwen.
We do. And I just got a text from Andrew Bensley. Tosin Stardom, undecided, may run in the Dardo, which is this Saturday.
Yep.
Epsom's still an option.
Oh, okay.
He brushed me. He usually terrorises me during the program. Mm. So he hasn't lost your number, does he?
Let's get to Sean. Hi, Sean. Good morning.
Morning, Terry. How are you?
Well, thanks, mate.
So I just want to speak to either Ron or Duff. Ron or Glenn.
Yep.
And help me out with Happy Clapper. Will he be getting top weight in the Epsom, or there's no... telling just
yet.
Depends who nominates. Yeah, it all depends on if he's a higher qualified horse or...
I think noms are taken today.
Today, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we should find out soon enough.
Anyway. Jeez, it was a good win.
It was a really good... I thought that...
Unfortunately?
Tom Melbourne. Jeez.
Mate, I was on it.
Was going to win, and I was like, yeah, I'm happy with second. I'll just put the money on him for the Epsom, and he just picked him up and...
Yeah.
And just ran away from him. So,
Tom Melbourne had a pretty torrid time, though, Duff.
Yeah, like, he was close to sitting three wide the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's it's the story of Tom's life.
I know, Jesus. He was too close to the fence last time.
He needs cleansing. We've got to change his name. I've got a campaign out there to change his name to Tom Sydney, and it's going to be a whole new...
I wouldn't be touching that horse and do anything to him. I think he's going along very, very good. Yeah.
He's going beautifully.
Yeah, not good enough the last two starts.
Yeah. Now, those...
Exactly.
Yeah, those noms are for the Epsom at 11 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
And weights will be declared on Monday the 18th of September, so you've still got a few weeks to wait to see... Yeah. What will
Thank
happen.
You very much, Mum.
Good on you, mate.
Appreciate
well done, Sean. Paddy Webster, with tongue firmly in cheek, didn't think the handicapper was watching you at Rose.
And he'll take on Winx at his next start in the George Main. Happy Clapper and Blake Shin goes back on.
Yeah. And Jasoni is running in the Scirocco on Saturday with Brenton on board. Brenton Abdullah on board.
Okay, let's get to the open line again. Hi, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Well, thanks, mate.
Just a message to the ATC. I was in the car park for 2 hours on Saturday trying to get out at the end of the day.
The Centrefield car park?
Yeah. Please open up the gates on the side on Woonsie Road. I know it only goes one way now, but it was just ridiculous on Saturday. You can't do that. There was a lot of very angry people.
I agree with you, Chris. You know, I mean, we've got parking in the centre is always hard, but we've got to eliminate all the obstacles, as many hurdles as we possibly can, not just race clubs, rugby league clubs, AFL clubs, whatever, right?
And the light rail situation at Randwick is just an absolute nightmare. Now, whether or not the ATC may have been restricted from opening the Woonsie Road gate, I know it's a one-way because you just go straight up to Woonsie Road, you go left, you're in Allison Road, and away you go. But, you know, that might have been completely out of their hands.
I know.
There's got to be somebody at the gate or something sorting it out. Nobody was going anywhere on Saturday.
Two weeks ago, there were the police there on High Street.
Better?
It was better.
Yeah.
And there was no police help there.
There was no police. There was nothing. And a
set of lights that change every 5 minutes.
I know.
Look, just two things. First of all, Glenn, on Saturday in Redzell's race, it was a four-horse race, and we had the dilemma of either having a trifecta or a first four. One of them paid $6.90 in Sydney and the other one paid $6. But my question to you is, why do you want to have two different pools on the same thing? In a four-horse race, the trifecta...
Because there's pre-selling on the race as of Friday when there were six runners in the race.
Yeah, but can you combine the pools or something? Because you alienate the people who take the wrong one. Let's face it, we don't know which one to take.
That have bet on Friday and taken a first four with six runners in the race? They don't want to take a trifecta. That's all it is. It's the same. You can have a three-horse race and you'll have a Cornella and a trifecta on the one race.
But can't you just combine it all and work out what the dividend is? Like if it's a dead heat for first or something, can't you just get the pools together and just give a dividend for one of them?
I don't think it's as simple as playing with the pools each and every day.
Yeah, how do you know who's... No. Hmm. Now, that couldn't work, Chris. Because some people, you're betting in a first four when you don't want to be in the first four. You're only betting a trifecta. Yeah.
But if you're betting a trifecta, the fourth horse that you've left out has to run fourth if you get the trifecta. That's the thing. But with pre-selling and the fact you can't start chopping and changing what pools you're offering in each and every race to coincide with how many runners there are.
No, that's good. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your call, mate. 13:53:53. Some things sound easy, but they're not. When will Winx be allowed to retire, or will human greed dictate her future? What mare does she have to do? What more does she have to do? Look, she's a racehorse, Winx.
Correct.
Mm. I mean...
She's not a merry-go-round horse.
No, I mean...
She's only had 20-odd runs.
That's right. They've looked after her a treat. Don't worry. Knowing the owners, her welfare is very, very well looked after. And Chris Waller is at the forefront of all of that, as well as the trainer. But why, when she's racing, she's showing absolutely no sign that she wants to retire. Well, not that I can see. Anybody else?
No worry.
No. She'll tell them. Don't worry.
Our man Chris Roots has thrown out a bit of a story here.
What's he thrown out?
He's inferring that the barriers are in the wrong spot for
for the 1300.
For the first. And I know that Vince Accardi is telling the times are out.
Right.
For the first race he's saying, I think, around about 0.6 of a second. That's going to be
an interesting
point. Well,
how far would the barriers be wrong? What's the claim there?
Well, put it this way. The race on Saturday has run 0.18 of a second faster than Dracarys did in winning its race. So that's 3 lengths faster than Dracarys. Ran on the same.
Just seemed to be travelling the leader there. So.
Well, if you look at the sectionals, he's run 61 hundredths of a second faster his first half of the race than they did in the Dracarys race.
Can't we go to the tape and find out where the 1,300-metre barrier was compared to the 1,300-metre start?
So well, the 6-metre rail. So
yeah, 6-metre rail, and that's what throws it out. They've got to come forward anyway.
They don't have a tape measure?
Yeah, they'd have done those measurements, sure.
Well, they have they have had the barriers in the wrong spot before. They've had them in the wrong spot at Canterbury the other day.
So you're potting
the
ATC.
So what was the official time? What was the official time?
1:14:59.
Yeah, no, Vince has got it at 1:14:56, so it's actually, he's got it faster.
Well, he might have said it's gone 0.6 of a second faster than it should have. There's definitely a story there with regarding 0.6 of a second.
I wish some of my horses would go 0.6 of a second faster. Yeah, let's go to 13:53:53. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning. Jimmy there? Hello, Jimmy. He's not grey yet.
Ronnie, I'm with you, mate. I want to change Tom Melbourne's name too.
Yep.
I want to change him to Tom North Sydney. Just like the old Bears, mate. Snatches victory. Good. Defeat from the jaws of victory every time.
Get on the team. We'll get him Tom Sydney before the end of the carnival.
Oh, mate, seriously. Anyway, guys, what I want to find out about is I was out Randwick on Saturday, and Reddick Seidman actually took my eye when I was looking at him in the parade yard, and I got the shock of my life when he was out in front like that. What's happening to him? Where's his future going?
Well, he'll be nominated.
That's a heck of a run the other day.
Yeah, he'll probably run in the George Main and the Epsom. He'll be nominated for the Epsom as well. He's a ripping old horse.
What about a Cox Plate? If he gets out like that on the bridle and starts running like that again, I mean, he might really just sharpen her right up on Brown Booty's up.
What, Vogue?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to let that happen again. It was just the circumstances of that race. You know, in an Epsom, he'd be flat out leading an Epsom, to tell you the truth. Yeah. He just found a race with a heap of stayers around him, and he seized an opportunity that opened up for him there.
It's the type of race, didn't it?
And he's not going to be able to do that in a real race where an Epsom maybe in a Wait for Age, maybe the George Main will be a similar type lineup. He could have another go at it. But I just think it was the day where he had the right horses around him that couldn't quicken with him at that time.
He's entered for the Cox Plate.
How hard is it for a horse to recover from that sort of a run, Duff? Red excitement. I mean, I know each horse is different. Their constitution depends how tough he is and all that. But it was a hard run.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it was a hard run for him.
Okay,
he just rolled out in front there. He's run a race record, but
he rolled out in front. He rolled pretty well.
I just think it was even splits all the way through, pretty well. He's a tough seasoned horse. That's his racing style. You know, get up and chip away at him.
Yep. Haven't talked about formality yet. Lovely filly this one. Proved to be very, very tough. Got the lead. Controlled the pace. Kicked clear and
just a good racing style.
Just too good.
Yeah, she's just got that fantastic racing style. She puts herself there. She has a fight. She's got a will to win. Second filly was sensational. Beaten by the barrier and
Cuddles.
Yeah, Champagne Cuddles. Yeah. And you know, third horse did well. You know, there's not much between those fillies. They're an even bunch. Just racing style of formality was the telling factor there.
Yeah, was out last early. Champagne Cuddles in the wrong part of the track.
Yeah, she,
which doesn't help.
She jumped, and he was going to... I thought he'd have a go for the lead, but you could see early that she wasn't going to match it, so he did the right thing looking for cover, but her run was the best in that race.
Well, best 400 and 200 of the day.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, very close to the best last 600 of the day, as she was at a previous run.
Right, let's get to the open line. We've got plenty of callers to get through. Hi, Josh. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gents. Congratulations on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Just a couple of quick ones. Just wanted to touch base with Ron on Invincible Gem. I thought it was a good thing beaten on the weekend, so just your thoughts on how it'll go in the Epsom. And just for Dino, when you mentioned a few weeks ago Ventura Storm had its first step out, just going on to the Melbourne Cup, what did Dino think of that run and its prospects for the Melbourne Cup?
Firstly, Invincible Gem, she's a beauty. Just has jumped the bar since January this year. She's just got under my guard how good she is. She did look unlucky, but then you can pull the race apart again and you can say, well, she was no more unlucky than Tom Melbourne, who sat wide, pulled his head off and did things wrong. So you could make cases, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder there or whatever you back. But Invincible Gem was very good. Whether she could win an Epsom, I couldn't back her, but I'm, like I say, I'm on the wrong side of the fence with her.
Ventura Storm looked outstanding in the yard, ran a lovely race. He's right on track for something big in the spring.
What about his stablemate in that race?
Yeah.
He ran the Queen Elizabeth. What's his name?
Yeah, Harlem.
Yes.
Harlem ran very well, didn't he? He got held up, ran well, looks well. Thought he looked a little bit more forward than Ventura Storm. They're all qualified up with Ventura Storm. They've just got to tick him over to later in the spring. So he's, you know, I'm pretty enamoured with Ventura Storm, I've got to say. I think he's something else.
He was good Saturday.
Something else.
Well, I think he'll see him come into his own these next two or three runs.
Right, okay.
I thought Mr. Sneaky was fantastic there on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Good name.
Yeah, it is. And he did exactly that. He got through the pack. And, look, I've always had the answer, my friend, probably is a slightly better horse than him, but they've met four times now, and Mr. Sneaky's got him a couple of times and got him well and truly on Saturday. And I've been thinking the answer, my friend's a really good lightweight chance for a race like the Rupert Clark. Mr. Sneaky's got to be in that sort of category as well.
Glenn, you've got Ventura Storm $26 in the Melbourne Cup.
Well, he opened 51 because Andrew asked me this question on Saturday morning, TK.
Okay.
He was 51 into 34 before he raced on Saturday.
51.
And then trimmed up from 34 into 26 after the race on Saturday.
Okay. Well, okay. So we've got Almandon still the $13 equal favourite with Hartnell.
Yeah, Admire Deuce. We've got Humidor and Red Cardinal all 17, Tiberian 21, and then a stack of them at $26, which includes Ventura Storm, Francis of Assisi, those ginger nuts is there, Inference who trialled today at Rose Hill, John Snow, Order of St George. So Melbourne Cup pitcher, still it's not all that clear. But
fairly vague, yeah.
We must see Francis soon, don't we?
I'd hope so.
Well, I'm having enough trouble what's going on in Australia, let alone overseas at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep taking calls. There's thousands online for our Steam panel. We'll go up to Mark. Good morning, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Go, boys. How are we?
Thank you. Good.
Mate, I'm interested to find out what they're going to do with Jorda, who ran that good race the other week behind Pryor and Chauffeur.
Yeah, she's an interesting horse. She had that year off after winning the Gym Crack, and she's a little she was a little immature thing. She was pretty good there first up. She's still a little backward, but I'd say she'd just go through the filly series there. I would expect she'd I don't know. Maybe they might run her in this I'd say she'd run in that filly series coming up, that Princess series. That seems more her go.
Yeah, it's the untapped, the unknown, because I know you were talking about Pryor and more the ride the other week with Blake Shinn.
Mm.
But if you saw what Glenn Schofield said in his comment, for a horse that had 42 weeks after that run, winning the Gym Crack,
yep.
Her run was enormous. And she's got form around Modernity, who had form against Hootson in the Magic Million. And she gave her a start and a beating. And I just like her a lot.
Oh, yeah, I see where you're coming from, Mark, and I'm not arguing. You know, I can...
Yes.
She's certainly got the profile there, and I think she's got the style. It's just a matter of whether she's got the substance in her own strength.
Yeah, the only worry with her, you think, you know, that the next fillies race is the T-Rose, which is 1,400.
Yeah.
On the same day, you've got the Heritage, which is an open three-year-old, but it's 1,100.
Yeah, well, that might be more her go.
Might be better, albeit she's got to take on the boys, which they took on the boys first up as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there might be Melbourne options for her as well. You know, the it's a big calendar.
Yeah, she's a nice horse. There's no doubt about that. We'll try and fit Charlie in. Hi, Charlie. Good morning to you. Hello, Charlie.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi, mate.
Congratulations, first of all, mate, on a world-class show, Punters Post Mortem with Ron Dern and Glenn.
Soon to be award-winning.
Can't believe it's not already.
It's not far off. It's got to be close.
How many years?
Yes.
A question to Dino.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, Dino, for the good tip on Hell and High Water on Saturday.
My pleasure. I'm glad it won. Needed it to win.
Yeah, I was in a situation Hell and High Water myself there. And
very, very good.
You brought me through, mate. Good on you. Where's he off to soon?
Oh, I reckon that was about job done on Saturday. I think that's the race that they had her set for. That's why I liked her. I think a lot of those were gearing up for something else, and she's absolutely at the peak of her powers right now. So that was her day Saturday.
Dino, a quick one if I put my 20 cents in.
Yeah.
Le Romain. Average?
That was a tempo related.
Yeah, look, I
can't tell the bookie that.
Yeah, I mean, he ran the best.
Don't give me any money back, Ronnie.
Yeah, but you didn't know that. You didn't do your form after the late scratching. That's probably.
No, I didn't. I had the bet on Friday.
He ran the best last 600 of the day, but yeah, I think he should have pushed the issue more with Blackheart Bart, and that mightn't have allowed John Snow to go forward.
Right.
Could have changed the whole issue a lot. Once he was three pairs back, he was no chance. Yeah. He was fine, but I mean, you don't collect on fine.
No, so we stick. I mean,
we say the horse is going well. He looked fantastic in the yard.
Yeah,
he's going fine.
Okay,
Dino, you can run your eye over Jorda on Saturday week at Flemington. So
okay, beauty in the Captain Tees.
Kurt joins us. Hi, Kurt. Can you make it quick, buddy?
Yeah. G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Dino, I'll just throw them at you quickly, mate. one of my favourite tradition. Has she trialled in Smart Coupe? Are we going to see him somewhere?
Well, was Silent Sedition the first one, did you say?
Yes, Silence.
No, haven't seen her at the trials as yet, but can't be far away.
Yeah, and Smart Coupe, Elton and Zara, the smart two starts, two wins.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen him at the trials either. It was pretty late in the winter when won those couple of races, so might be just a little bit behind.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and just quickly, Dean, $3.80 I took for Colombian today. Is that too short or not?
It's about the right price, Kurt. It's going to be pretty hard to beat.
All right, thanks, mate.
There you go.
Good on you. Well done. Thanks, Kurt.
You asked him to be brief.
Yeah, no.
Francis of Assisi's actually had one run back, which was on the 12th of August in the Rose of Lancaster Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and 2.5 furlongs.
Yep.
And he ran 8th in a field of 11 as a 15-2 or an $8.50 chance.
Okay. One to follow, Dino, if we possibly can, mate.
Gee, there was a lot to follow there from Saturday. I will go with... Venture a Storm. I'm just going to keep sticking.
Okay. All right. $26, I think, from memory in the Melbourne Gap.
Yeah, Snitson out of the last race. I haven't mentioned the last race on Saturday. Snitson's going to Flemington in 2 weeks, 1,400. Beautiful. Be hard to beat.
Beautiful. Hopefully they like to be up on the pace in the 1,400 at Flemington, don't they? Ronnie, you got one?
Same thing. There's 100 of them. But there's one out of left field here. I'm not saying everyone back him next start, but just keep an eye on him. I think he's a very good horse. A horse called My Nordic Hero out of the last race. Hadn't raced in 2 years. He's an Irish horse. He'd been to Hong Kong and hadn't raced. Well, a lovely, well-balanced horse who's just got a little bit of condition on him yet.
Didn't have a start in Hong Kong, did he?
No. Like
just went there for a holiday or something.
Well,
shopping.
Obviously, something's gone wrong.
Christmas shopping.
Hasn't raced in 2 years. But he looks all right. good horse to me.
Okay, there's
got the one
to follow.
Try and couldn't get out.
No, well, there's yes, I won't go there. Now, Glenn.
Champagne Cuddles.
Yeah. She's
run the best section. As I said, the best sections are two runs this time in. She gets a race with a bit of speed on and a bit of give in the ground.
Yeah.
And she'll be very hard to beat.
Oh, boys, one of your best. We do thank you, Dino, Glenn Munsey, and also Ronnie Duffersey joining us on this edition of Punters Postmortem. Hopefully it... plenty of black bookers there to put down and make sure you follow right throughout this spring carnival. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Punters Postmortem.